Welcome to episode 391 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we have reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps us make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. If you'd like to see what we're talking about, be sure to check us out on YouTube channel, searching for Fly Away Podcast. My name is Dawn, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, Elizabeth, Sandy, Lindsay, and George. Hello, everybody. Undoubtedly, one of the most beautiful cities in the world, it tempts visitors with stunning landscapes, well-preserved architecture, rich history, unique museums, delicious food, and some of the best beer on earth. Lindsay recently gave into Prague's siren song and visited its one-of-a-kind city on a research trip. So let's get started. So, okay, you said food first. So, you know, let's talk about the food.
Yeah, we got to talk about the food because this is a foodie city. And I am so embarrassed to say that usually, like when I thought of Prague, I've been to the Czech Republic before. And I think of beer, right? You think
beer. Oh, beer, of course. Beer, Vienna, yes. Czech Pilsners.
So I'm going to go do this beer research and food is kind of an afterthought. And I'm thinking, you know, we spent all that time and, I'm not expecting too much. I'm thinking it's going to be good, but I'm not expecting to have like the best food experience I've ever had in my life in Prague. And I totally did. I did a foodie tour and I went to some places that I had been on my list to try, but I went to a lot of places I never would have found. ever would have found on my own. And I just had the most amazing food. I had just fell in love with the Svich Cola. It's like a sirloin, like a meat patty, but it's covered in brown gravy and they serve it with like a little bit of cranberry sauce. And the gravy has like cream in it. And they put the dollop of cream on top and it's got a dumpling in there and it's so delicious. And what did I have? I'm going to pronounce, please email us and correct us on all of our mispronunciations. Koji. It's a traditional soup. So they have like a hearty soup is a big staple of their midday meal. And I had so much amazing food. Just one thing after another, and I was not expecting it.
Sounds like the ultimate comfort foods, basically.
Yeah, basically the ultimate comfort foods. They had like I forget what it's called, but it's like fried cheese.
You had me at fried and cheese.
Yeah. Oh, and the beer hall. Well, what the number one thing that comes up, which I didn't think I was ever going to try, and I'm not even going to try and pronounce it because I'm going to butcher it. But it's basically their steak tartare. Their steak tartare was amazing. And I don't know if it's the seasoning that's in it or how it's done. Cause I've had like a little bit of steak tartare before and I'm like, I'm not going to eat this, but however they prepare it is completely the opposite of what I've had in the past. And it was delicious. And they serve it on toast and you take you get the cloves of garlic that have been roasted and you rub it up and down on the toast to prepare the bread. And then you put the meat on and it's kind of a staple in the beer halls. There are all these really cool foods that are staples to be served with beer. And it was...
It's funny when you talk about steak tartare, because when we went to France last year, a friend of mine warned us that she was with someone who ordered steak tartare there. And it came out as like, she said it looked like raw hamburger meat with an egg on top, like grandma's meatloaf before she mixed it up.
But that is that's exactly what steak tartare is. I mean,
yes.
Yeah. Is that what it was like there?
So I'm going to pull up my picture of it and I'll put, I love that we can add pictures. Yeah. I took a picture of everything I ate. So I'll get like a little collage to put on there, but it had more of like some type of red seasoning in it. And I don't know. I want to call it paprika because I don't know what it was, but there was some seasoning on it and it was really good. And maybe it was the garlic. Maybe it was the garlic that made it taste good, but or the fact that I was drinking great beer. And I got this unique lesson about how to pour beer in a beer hall and how you order beer. Czech beer is different than ordering with the amount of foam, the amount of head on the beer. It actually indicates the taste and the flavor of the beer, which is so cool.
Little fun fact that I learned in pub trivia is that the Czech Republic drinks more beer per person than any other country in the world.
But yeah, they more beer than any other place in the world. And one of my tour guides, amazing tour guide, was telling us that it's a normal thing to have beer with your meals. It's like having water or, you know, what you'd have. Soda or wine. So even if you're at lunch at work, it's completely normal to have a beer midday, a couple of beers with your meal, and they're not loaded down with the gross amount of alcohol content that we seem to put in our beer here in the U.S.
Well, they're also small. They're usually you know, 4 ounce beers. Yeah. So you went on a couple of food tours and beer tours. Any other kind of tours?
Yeah, I did a electric, it wasn't a scooter tour, but it was kind of like a moped type tour. And it was so cool. It was so fun. We went all around the city. It was a great way to kind of get oriented with the city. And we went through the park and went past the Stalin, the monument, which had a really big Ukrainian flag up there right now. I was kind of moving to get to see that. And I went to all these corners, beautiful viewpoints, vistas of the city that I normally wouldn't get to see because I'm not going to haul myself. I have a more active mind when I travel. I'm not in the U.S. If it's more than 15 minute walk, I'm like, no, we're in an Uber. But for some reason in Europe, I'm like, oh, it's only 40 minutes. Oh, okay. I can walk that. But if there's like a hill involved, I'm only climbing it once and I better know exactly.
You better be going downhill on the way back.
Yeah. I better be going. So this tour was cool because I got to go up in a couple different vantage points and then really get the layout of the city and see where I wanted to go back to and where I wanted to spend my time. And that was kind of great. And I thought it was very affordable. It's a great way to spend your first tour, either the first night or the first morning, and get acclimated to the city. But I got some incredible pictures.
So with the scooter, do they like speak into your ear while you're scooting or?
No, she just stops. She stops and talked along the way. And, you know, you do get the community helmets. You're pulling a helmet out of the thing. Does this one fit your head? I think so. Maybe you put your gloves on and, but it was, the traffic wasn't too bad. I could see where it would be a little, might be a little, not something I'd want to do on a super, super busy day in the high point of tourist season. It's definitely, I think it was enjoyable because it wasn't, as busy, if that makes any sense. The driving part was not as scary because we were kind of on the side of the highway and we were on the, you know, going from these beautiful, this one beautiful viewpoint to the next. And it was just something that I think on a weekday would be a perfect thing to do, or kind of like on an off time, not so much during peak weekend hours would I attempt that again. But I definitely would recommend doing that in any city you go to. Get on some type of a tour where you're going to see the perimeter and you're going to see the layout, and especially if it's not a place that you're familiar with. And
like a Segway tour?
I won't do a Segway, but yeah, something like that, like a scooter, something. Get on something.
Can you take a Segway all the way up a hill like that? I don't know.
Uphill?
No, some of those hills were so steep, I would not have done a Segway.
When we were in Asheville, we did a Segway tour, and like Ellie was rolling down the hill because she wasn't bored enough to go up, and she was seriously scared to like go back down the hill.
That would, no. See, the scooter's not, you're not going to roll backwards on the scooter. You're, you know, a little more solid, a little sturdy. But it was a great way to see the city and a great way to get up by the castle because you got to go up to the castle. And I did walk up there the next day, but I knew which path I wanted to take. I knew which way I wanted to go, just from doing that tour, which was nice. But
what castle was it?
The Prague Castle, the one that's never been, that's been intact and was never destroyed. That's, I think it's like, yeah, it's a Guinness Book of World Records. Yeah, right now. So seriously, we are 700 kilometers from the shelling. But the Guinness Book of World Records, I think it's in there for the biggest castle, biggest medieval structure castle in existence. And it has just packed full of beautiful things of historical significance. And my favorite part of that was going through the Golden Lane and seeing where the craftsmen, where the, like the seamstress, and seeing all the little cottages and where the real people lived down from the castle and up in the, I forget what they're called, but where the soldiers would patrol.
The ramparts.
There were a bunch of glass cases full of different kinds of helmets throughout the ages. Probably the largest display easily the largest display I've ever seen in my whole life of suits of armor, helmets and weapons, and some of them were recreations, some of them were artistic styling, some of them were antique. It was just a kind of a blend of different display pieces, and it was so cool. I could have spent a whole day up there, and I'm not into weapons, but that it was so fascinating to see the detail carved into and to see the artistry of what those pieces, you know, could have been, and see how, I mean, for me personally, I'm just looking at this and thinking, how much does this weigh, and how much would I have to love and believe in my king or my country to put this giant tin can on that weighs 1,000,000 pounds and go have somebody ring my bell with a with a, you know, like the with the, they had the weapons, the recreations of the weapons were there, and I don't know if what they call, my husband would be just dying right now because he know what all these things are, but the stick with like the little ball on the end with the little spikes,
mace,
imagine like just banging on each other with those things, and then it was really cool, and get to see the little where the alchemists, where the you know, the mad scientist tried to make gold, and the little alchemy area.
Yeah.
So what other kinds of places did you go?
So I was going to go to the Alchemy Museum. I didn't, it was closed. I went to the church. The church there was actually both of the churches in the castle structure were stunningly beautiful.
What religion are they? Is it Catholic?
No, it's was Orthodox. It was
my mother kept talking about the Infant of Prague.
one of them might have been Catholic. One of them was, well, the Saint George. There was a Saint George's. So, but I always get the religions confused because there's an Orthodox and there's a, I don't know.
Well, there's Greek Orthodox, Eastern Orthodox.
Yeah,
Russian Orthodox.
So what you're saying is it's a pretty church.
Yes, it was a pretty church, basically with a lot of historical significance that I do not quite understand, but I did appreciate how beautiful it was. And the stained glass windows were incredible.
Well, that sounds Catholic. Was...
No, they all have stained glass windows.
They do. Sandy.
They all do. And just this like past 40 days, I've probably seen about 100 churches. They all had stained glass windows and a lot of antiques inside them. So, you know, if you can't get to a museum, you can go to a church, and that's pretty much the same thing. A lot of beautiful artwork. Some of the most beautiful artwork in the world is in churches.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is definitely true.
Let's see. What else?
Talk about the monastery. Kind of alluded to that.
Astrological clock. Yeah. So I went to two different. I went to Strahov Monastery, and I saw the very famous library that was there, and they have a really cool collection of, I don't even know what you would call it, like fossils of animals and petrified animals and jars and things like that. Natural collection, kind of like in right before you go into the library area. So they have like a platypus and they have all these things that are really interesting and different kinds of rocks and different kinds of
almost like a natural history.
Yeah, like a little bit of a mini natural history exhibit. The library was beautiful. It was definitely worth seeing. And then I went to the brewery and went to the restaurant and had ate dinner and had some beer and tasted all the beers. And and I went to Brasov Monastery the next day and kind of did the same thing, only the brewery was closed because the day that I went there. So I just went to the bar and tried all the beers on tap, and I fell in love with this incredible beer. And I'm just the sadness I have is it's kind of a double-edged sword. I love when you fall in love with a beer anywhere in the world, but then if it's something that you can never and I can't get it home because it's unpasteurized, unfiltered. It's got a lifespan of like 2 to 3 days, and that's about it. You've got to drink this right away. But it was so fresh and so pure, and you could taste the history in this beer, and what a cool thing it is. Again, a little bittersweet. I tried so many incredible beers this trip that I couldn't check into on Untappd because they just weren't there. They weren't listed.
Can you not add stuff on Untappd?
Yes, you can.
I probably could, but I didn't know. Maybe I can go back and retroactively add it, but I just took pictures of it and moved on with my life. Cause I'm like, I can't find it on here.
So but just to get this, just so that I know how this works, churches for art and monasteries for beer.
Yes. Yes. Okay. And now you're traveling like.
Hey, when you're in Belgium, you go to the Trappist monasteries.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly. You now you're getting it. Now you're, but yeah, it was really well worth. And the food was extremely, everywhere I went, the food was affordable. The beer is extremely affordable. I think beer is cheaper than soda. Beer is cheaper than water most yes. places in Europe.
Yeah, because you have to buy still or sparkling. Buy this whole yes. bottle. Yeah.
Still or sparkling. Or you could have four beers.
Tough decision.
Let's see. What else did I do? I did so much.
Oops. Did you stay up late?
Yeah. Yeah, I went out in so search
like past of, 9 o'clock.
Oh, well past 9 o'clock. I was so part of my reason for going here was to do a little drink research for a project I'm working on, and I wanted to find some speakeasies. Prague is another thing that I don't think a lot of people realize is the nightlife there is insane. And I'm not talking, there's lots of like clubs and right now there seems to be a resurgence of interest, by the young folk in 80s US music. So we fit right in. Yeah. Yeah. I forget the band, but there were, the first thing I saw when I got out of the train station were band posters for like bands from the 80s. And I was like, are they Dire Straits? Like, are they still touring?
Are they still alive?
Yes, Mark Knopfler is still alive.
I didn't mean it that way, but yeah, you know what I mean? Like that you're like, this is, did I get in a time machine? Or so you hear, you're going by these clubs and you're hearing this music and it's 80s music. And it's just kind of, it's oddly entertaining and comforting at the same time. But I was in search of more unique nightlife. Bars that you have to know where they are. You've got to know the secret way to get into them. You've got to know the secret way to order in one of them. One of the bars I went to, there's no menu. If you're lucky enough to find this place, when you get in there, you are served based off of the conversation that you have with the bartender. And he's not just asking you like, hey, what do you normally drink? He's having a regular conversation with you. And however your conversation goes, that's what he bases what he makes you off of. And somehow this guy, I mean, he got bourbon in mind. So he did it right. I was very, very happy with the drink he made for me. So very impressed. I went to a couple of the anonymous bars.
What's an anonymous bar?
Well, I'm just going to say, I'm guessing they're not really affiliated with Anonymous, but everybody knows who Anonymous is. It's the, you know, the Guy Fawkes masks, the Guy Fawkes themed
the like bars. Hacker
culture. Yeah. So if you've seen the, you know, always remember the Fifth of November, if you've ever seen the movie, one of the bars, it's a little hard to find. You get in there and it's got a courtyard outside that's kind of like replica of that, as if you were going into the bunker there. And very kitschy inside, very much like a Trader Sam's type feel, where there are mugs and themes and there are drinks and there are special effects that go with the drinks. And one of the menus that is, you have to get a black light out to find the secret menu. And then they have another menu that they project on the wall at 10 PM. And every so often, like an announcement will go off. And if you order this one drink, they'll come out and they'll do like a fire dance if you order a hot fox. And, it was just a really cool day. And then they had some drinks on the menu that were just there because they were fun. Like they had Wilson. I had a Wilson. It was served in a volleyball painted like Wilson. It was really cool. They had this, I forget what it's called, but it was like, basically it comes out in like a Cookie Monster glass, but it's got the A for Anarchy. Avery Anonymous on the back of it is the coolest. Artist done mugs. So it's got cookie. Hey, it
looks like you gotta share all these pictures.
I will. I'm gonna share the pictures. Yeah. So I wasn't supposed to be able to buy the Cookie Monster mug because those weren't for sale. The only mugs they had for sale.
Stole it? And,
no, I Sandy, seriously?
You shoved it down your shirt and you
oh my god, really?
It secretly no. Ended up in my bag.
No, I bought it, but I because I was buying two of the Guy Fawkes mugs because they only made 100. And what started this whole trip for me was I was at a tiki bar. This is how travel connects. So when I was in Vienna in a tiki bar, I saw there was a Guy Fawkes mug on the counter and asked the guy, where did this come from? He goes, from the Anonymous bar in Prague. And this was like 2 years ago. So I was like, I'm going to find that bar. So I get there and I see that, and they only have a couple of the Guy Fawkes mugs left. So I got two because I figured maybe I won't break one of them on the way home and I'll at least get one, but they both made it home unbroken. And then one of the drinks I ordered was in that Cookie Monster mug and it had a little saucer on top with a chocolate chip cookie on it. And it was the coolest nightcap drink ever. And I wanted that little mug and he's like, they're not really for sale. And I bought the other two and he's like, okay, I'll sell it to you. Same price or whatever. So I bought all three mugs, all three made it home. I will put a picture in the thing, but I'm a big old mug collector, but anyway, so I found that and then actually right before I found that one, cause that one took me a while to find, oddly enough, because every time I'd put the address that I had for it in the GPS, it would take me to a different location. And I don't know if that was some kind of like
that doesn't
weird
sound like Anonymous was doing
trickery.
That.
Yeah, it was very, very hard to find. So so the other one was easier to find. And it was the only one that came up when I typed in Anonymous Bar in Prague. There was only one that came up. And so that's the one I went to first. Got into that one pretty easy. They weren't going to let me in at first because you have to have reservations, but the guy's like, oh, you're just one person. Come on in. And it's called the Shrink's Office. And basically the concept here is like Rorschach from Watchmen. So they all wear the Rorschach mask, all the bartenders. And it's basically like a psychologist officer in there. And you don't have, again, the menu is not a typical menu. Your menu are ink blots. So you pick your drink based on the picture that appeals to you most, based on the ink blot.
Interesting.
And I got like a it ended up being kind of like a Bohemian Manhattan. So I was pretty happy with that. I probably would have stayed there and drank my way through the whole menu, but I was trying to be courteous because he kind of squeezed me in between two other people's reservations. So had my one drink and got out of there and I'll go back for sure. But it was a really cool experience. I found so many cool little off the beaten path bars, and it's just, again, not something that I would have, I think Prague, I think beer and history. I'm not thinking food and really cool nightlife or unique things to do like that. And now I know. Go back.
Well, I'm going with my mother in three. I'll be there in 2 weeks with my mom. I think I need to go back with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to come back with me. You got to come back with me. I'm doing a group. I'm going to do a pre. So that's, and I can't wait. I can't wait to go back and actually spend more time. Yeah,
I don't think my
mom
could, I can get her into some of these places. Yeah, it's not her cup of tea.
I want to ask you like a typical American female question, which is you were there by yourself and you went to these bars by yourself and that was okay.
Late at night, wandering up and down what were essentially abandoned streets looking for, because I don't know if anybody listening has ever been to a speakeasy knows that they're often like, it looks like an abandoned warehouse or it looks like a storefront, but it's not a storefront because it's hiding something else. And they're never in like usually a very well-trafficked part of town. I felt extremely safe. The only time that I had a little bit of fear was the first night that I was out walking looking for the anonymous bar, and it was super late at night and I realized that my GPS had stopped working. So I had no orientation for the city at night, you know, in that part of the city that I was in. I didn't know where my hotel was in relation to where I was, because I was staying a little bit farther out than I normally would want to stay. I was staying a little bit in an area I normally wouldn't stay in. Normally I'd be like in Old Town, wherever it is, however much it is, that's where I'm staying. Put me right in Old Town, because you can always kind of get around the city. But so I go walking and my battery's dying on my phone because because it's draining from trying to search constantly for signal. It's not getting to send me anywhere. And I had a little bit of panic, but I saw some other ladies walking and I went up and I asked if they spoke English. And yes, they speak English. And I said, I'm trying to find this hotel. Do you have a phone that works? My GPS isn't working. And they just pulled it up and told me exactly where to go and I was fine. So, and then after that, I was kind of like, but that's the first time in a long time I felt like, ooh, my phone's going to die. Maybe if my battery pack was dead. So here's a lesson, pack 3 battery packs. don't just leave 2 in the hotel and take 1 with you. Take all 3, because you just never know when your battery is going to die on your brand new phone you just bought from Apple. Thank you very much, Apple.
Yeah. No matter how heavy they are.
But yeah, that's, yeah, exactly. Worth every ounce of weight. But yeah, no, I didn't feel unsafe at all. I don't know if it's the fact that I'm older and I'm not really the target demographic that needs to worry about walking around late at night, but I didn't feel scared other than that one brief technology's failing me moment. And that was more of a fear of walking around all night.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, wasn't afraid for my life. Yeah. Couldn't call a Bolt, couldn't call anything because it wasn't. But I will say that much like if you're calling an Uber or a Bolt in New York City, or not a Bolt in New York City, but you're calling an Uber or a Lyft in New York City, and you know how you could be here and you could put the exact address in, but it's going to tell the driver you're like a block over.
Yeah, that's the other corner. Yeah.
That's kind of how the GPS was working in Prague. And it was weird because the internet seemed to slow down at night. And I don't know if it's because I had the international pass or however, but it was weird. During the day it was fine, and then at night it was kind of iffy. So my one thing is after that I took a map with me and I had my little whatever hotel you're staying at, if you're not familiar, go to the concierge desk. Those concierge people will save your life every single time. They will hook you up with, if you didn't get together with your travel agent and pick a tour out, they'll find you something. If you didn't, you know, if you need to know where this is or where that is, they are your connection to that city. And they will be more than happy to mark on a map where you are, where you need to go, which ways are safe to walk, which ways aren't safe to walk. They're a really good resource point. So yeah. Never stay at a hotel that doesn't have one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tell clients that all the time. You want a hotel that has a concierge. You don't want
to. Yeah, you do not gotta have a concierge. especially if it's a city you've never been to. You just, you can't, you always want to do the tours, but to have that one steady person throughout your whole trip that you can kind of go ask questions is good too. Let's see, what else did I do? I ate so much stuff. Did several walking tours, walked around the city by myself several times, which was really great. One of the things I didn't know either was that they're kind of known for like puppets. Yeah, like marionettes and stuff. So there's tons of marionette stores, and those are really cool to kind of look at and see the handmade, handcrafted artistry. And
you didn't see an infant in Prague anywhere?
You're gonna have to ask your mom what that is exactly.
Well, it's like the baby Jesus. Like,
yeah, it's in the church. There's like a little place. Like,
that's where the baby is.
I did see that, but it's not as big of a thing.
I feel
as
like she wanted me to fire one, you know. Now,
you should have told me. I would have. What I did see was, and I'm gonna butcher the artist's name. It's David, I think, Szenski. I had never heard of him, but he's a very famous, controversial artist. And I guess I had heard of him, but I didn't remember his name because I think Anthony Bourdain had him on an episode that I'd watched a long time ago. And he's known for these really outlandish, thought-provoking, often controversial public displays of art. And to include, like, he painted a tank pink or something at one point in time. And but there's this tower in Prague that's kind of looks like a spaceship that's about to take off. And it's this ugly, it's like a satellite TV tower or something. It's ugly as sin. Nobody there likes it, I guess. And he put like babies crawling up it. So every time Sandy's saying the baby of Prague, that's where my brain, infant of Prague, that's where my brain was going. But it was like
might be like his tie-in to it.
Yeah, it might have been a tie-in. Yeah.
Maybe it was a tie-in, but that was a statement about abortion. It was just giant babies.
Well, that would be like right up the Catholic Church.
Yeah. crawling up the tower. And then he has another one of a horse upside down, and he's got a bunch of really neat art sculptures, installments throughout the city that are kind of making statements, and was really kind of a unique thing.
I'm glad we haven't talked about Prague on this podcast before, and we really should have, because this is it's one of those places I haven't been. And Lindsay, this is not your first time there, right?
And this is my first time staying there and actually seeing the city. So the thing is, I think people go to Prague and they're there for like maybe a day or two. But I mean, I was there for almost a week and it was not long enough. I feel like I could go just every day to the castle area and see something different every single day. You could literally spend an entire week really just diving into one little section and then go on. There's so many museums. There's the Jewish quarter. There's so much history to be, you know, absorbed, and so much great culture and art in this part of the world that I feel like I failed as a traveler not spending more time here before. So I will definitely be going back, and I will be going back for longer. I think doing just a tiny little trip there before or after another trip is a disservice to yourself, really. And I know a lot of people who go like before Christmas markets, they'll go before a cruise or after a river cruise, and they're there for a few days. But this is, if you are a history, if you love any part of history or medieval anything, I mean, to get access to so many untouched pieces of you know, little artifacts of time in one area is really, you know, as somebody who's spent the last 20 some odd years looking at the ruins of the world. Everything was ruined tour of the world, to see a castle structure that's that intact and to get to kind of be in that area. And there are a lot of tourist traps, and there are some tourist traps that I would gladly fall into. Like, there's an alchemist bar I need to go back and go to that's supposed to have the same type of special effects as the anonymous bar, but only alchemy themed. And I'd go to that. I'd go to the alchemy museum. I'll spend some money on that, the tourist stuff. I think it's funny. I think it's kitschy. It's unusual. There's a sex machine museum there. There's a, and I'm so proud of you guys for not laughing. There's a, there are all these really cool art museums and different, I don't know. It's, I think it's a great part of the world. The cemetery, this, I didn't even talk about the cemetery in the Jewish quarter is just beautiful and just haunting. And there's so much to see and absorb. And it's such a great walkable city. And as me being a lazy person saying this, I had no problem. There was so much to see that walking for 40 minutes was like, I'm happy because there's 40 minutes worth going over the Charles Bridge, going over back and forth where the day laborers, you know, if I was alive back then, I would have been one of those peasants coming across to go work for the royal family and then coming back at the end of the day when you're done with work and getting to kind of walk in those footsteps. And if you are a literature, have you read the Metamorphosis? Have you read anybody read Kafka?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Metamorphosis. So he wrote actually, he wrote a whole book about short stories that's based on the lives or he wrote about the Golden Lane, and you can actually do a tour where you're walking in his footsteps in Prague. And that was, I don't know. I thought that was kind of neat. So I love,
people always go and say that they were surprised. Like they expected it would be okay. They expected it would like it. And they just fall in love with it. It's just such a charming place. Yeah. And I've yet to go.
So. Well, I'm about to find out.
Yeah. That's exactly what happened.
We'll await your review.
How many days are you going to be there for?
3 days.
Oh, okay. So you're going to have to come. You're going to have to come back with me. We're going to have to go back.
Yeah, I don't think my mom would go to the sex machine museum.
Maybe she would. Maybe you just don't want to be there when she does.
She might surprise you.
No, she doesn't surprise me. Well, that's our show for this week. We want to thank you for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of outlandertravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to like and subscribe to us on YouTube. So on behalf of Elizabeth, Sandy, George, Lindsay, and myself, Donna, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.